Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 20. In verse 6, the Word of God says, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." Most men will proclaim their own goodness. You see this all the time. Young people, I'm sure you've seen this even among your friends and other young people. People are proclaiming their own goodness. They're saying, "I am good, I am right, I am just, I am all these things. I am all that in a bag of chips." But God says, despite the fact that most men, most people, when the Bible says most men, it's not really speaking about just men. It means men and women. That's the way they used to talk in those days. Most people proclaim how good they are. But God is looking not for a good person per se. He's looking for a faithful person, a faithful man who can find. God is looking for a faithful man. Now, the word faithful, it does mean to be trustworthy, for example, like we think of today, but it's much deeper than that. There's a reason that is brought out in the original language of the word faithful for that trustworthiness. It's trustworthy because the person is faith-filled. So what he's saying here is, who can find a man who's filled with faith to the point where you can trust him, where God can trust him? And that's really what God is looking for. God is looking for people who will be faith-filled, and because they are faith-filled, they become trustworthy. They become faithful people. Now, in Hebrews 11:6, it's not possible to please God if we don't have faith. So faith is this really big deal. In Habakkuk 2:4, in the second half of the verse, the just people live by faith. So a person who is right with God is right with God because they live by faith. There's no other way to be right with God. God is not looking for our perfection. God is not looking for our excellence. God is not looking for us to be the best at everything. God is looking for people to be faith-filled. He wants us to be full of faith. Now, there's three things in particular that are very important for us to be faithful, trustworthy toward, because we are filled with faith specifically. These three things, if we're faithful to them, everything else in our life will follow. The basic is these three things. You sometimes wonder, what should I focus on? What should I be concerned about? What should I emphasize? It's these three things. If you have these three things, everything else falls in place. You don't have to worry about the other stuff. It'll just come. The first thing, God is looking for people to be faithful to the Word of God. That is vital. God is looking for people to be faithful to the Word of God. In John 1:14, it's the Word of God that became alive when Jesus came. Jesus was the living Word of God. Yes, He was a person. Just like you and I are a person, He was also God at the same time. That was the very magnificent and unique thing about Jesus, is that He was a man and God at the same time. But He was also the Word of God. That means that all of His thoughts are the Word of God. So God wants people to be faithful to Him. Therefore, how do I become faithful to God who I can't see? You're faithful to the Word of God. That's how you do it. If you're faithful to the Word of God, you will be faithful to God. There's no other way about it. If you're faithful to the Word of God, you will be faithful to God. If you're not faithful to the Word of God, you will not be faithful to God. It's that simple. Now, in John 17:17, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, sanctify them according to your word. Your word is truth. To sanctify means to be set apart for a life with Christ, a life with God. Set apart for the purpose of God. Set apart for the love of God. Set apart for the joy of God. Set apart for all the wonderful things that God does for us. And so God literally sets us apart. That means he has them planned for us. He prepared them for us. His purpose is to give them to us. That's his desire. We're set apart for those things so that we can receive them, and we do it through the word of God. And then it says your word is truth. One of the biggest problems that people have nowadays is trying to figure out what the truth is. And the way they do is a mistake. The only way to find out what truth is through the word of God. The word of God is the truth. But sometimes people will look at a situation and they'll try to evaluate it by the way it looks. And they will call that truth. That's not truth. If it disagrees with the word of God, it's not truth. Only if it agrees with the word of God, and then you can only say, this is according to truth. Truth is the word of God. That defines everything. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Several years ago, some researchers, they were psychologists, they did a study in New York City. And they went in front of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, in Manhattan, and that is a very busy area. And they staged, it was fake, but they staged a mugging. In other words, they had somebody steal somebody's purse and then run away with it. And they got the cooperation of the police department so they wouldn't get in trouble, and the police was in on it. And so they staged this mugging, and other researchers came who were dressed like police officers. And they interviewed the eyewitnesses. And the eyewitnesses told them exactly what they saw. And the eyewitnesses would say, this is a fact. The problem was that every eyewitness told them something different. Some people said the mugger was a man. Some people said the mugger was a woman. Some people said the mugger was a white person. Some people said it was a black person. Some people said it was a Hispanic person. All different colors of people. Some people said the mugger was wearing a coat. Other people said the mugger was not wearing a coat. Nobody could agree. But they would all tell you, and they would swear to it in court, and they would be convinced that they're telling you the truth. They would tell you their story, but the stories were all different. The problem with facts, sometimes people equate them to truth. They think, well, if it's a fact, it's truth. No, facts are how we interpret things. And how we interpret things is very unreliable. Because different things come into play. The way a person thinks. The experiences a person has had. The things you expect. You ever encounter a situation where you expect that you will hear something, but somebody says something different, but you think you heard it anyway? You ever encounter a situation where maybe you're in a dark, shady room, and you look out, and out the corner of your eye, you see a black cat run by? But then you look again and you realize it was only a shadow. These kind of things happen all the time. It's because of the way the brain works. The fact that you can see something or observe it, the fact that you can even look at it very closely, doesn't necessarily give you reality. It gives you the interpretation that your brain makes about what it sees or what it hears. or what is going on, but they may not really be reality. While the truth gives you reality, the Word of God gives you reality. When God says be faithful to His Word, He's saying be faithful to reality as God tells you that reality exists. God is the one who made reality. So He can tell you better than anybody else all about what reality is. He made it. And so He wants us to be faithful to His Word. In Isaiah 55:11, God sends out His Word. In other words, you'll hear preaching, or maybe you'll read the Bible, or somehow you receive the Word of God, and it always has an effect. There's never a time when somebody receives the Word of God that it has no effect. God's Word is extremely effective. It says in that portion that it accomplishes the things that God purposes for it. Why did He send it? Why did He give that message? What did He want? Well, the Word of God will always accomplish what God wants in that person's life. And then also, whoever hears the Word of God will prosper because of it. Now, by prosper, I don't necessarily mean they'll be rich because of it in terms of money. It could happen that way. That's a possibility. But whether a person is rich or poor doesn't mean anything with God. By prosper, I mean they will grow because of it. If they have a problem, it'll help them with their problem. If they don't understand something, it'll help them to understand. Whatever a person's need is, the Word of God will satisfy that need, will help them with that need. In being faithful to the Word of God, in Hebrews 11:25, we also have to be faithful to church. And it says there that we are to gather together much more, and that's talking about being in church in that portion, to receive the Word of God. We have to gather together much more as we see the day approaching. As we see the day approaching simply means the closer it gets to Christ's return. Well, every day is closer than the previous one to Christ's return. So it's saying all the time, increase your faithfulness to the Word of God, increase your faithfulness to church, be there as much as you're able, receive as much as you can. In John 15:5, He said, if we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, then we will bear much fruit. And in verse 7, whatever we desire will be done for us. Why? Because the Word of God is in us. It's in our thinking. We think with His thoughts. And then He can very easily do for us anything, and we'll be very fruitful people because we are thinking His thoughts. So that's the first thing we have to be very faithful to. It's very important. Never neglect it. Be faithful to the Word of God. You want to receive it every single day. The second thing you need to be faithful to is the love of God. Now, sometimes people wonder, how can I be faithful to an emotion? You're not. The love of God is not an emotion. People will sometimes confuse affection with love. Love is not the same as affection. Affection has more to do with liking someone or something. But love, you don't have to like the person to love them. Love in 1 Corinthians 13:4 starts with two things, and every other aspect of love, everything else about love, comes from those two things. Love is first patient, and it's very kind. Those two things right there. Love is patient, and love is kind. God is patient because He is love, and God is kind. And so, the Word of God says, be faithful to the love of God. Start with being patient and kind. The first one you're patient and kind with is God Himself. Let's say that you have a prayer. And it takes a while to answer that prayer. In other words, you've been asking God for something and it's not coming, but you keep asking Him because you believe Him and it's still not coming and you're trusting that eventually it will come. Well, trusting Him that eventually it will come is correct. Sometimes God has to wait to answer our prayer because we're not ready to receive the answer. And so He has to make us ready. And so, if I am patient toward God and I am kind toward God, I won't say something silly like, well, God's not doing it. Obviously, He doesn't answer prayer. That's stupid. Of course He answers prayer. It's like coming to Him and saying, can I have a gallon of water? And you're coming with this little Dixie cup, this little paper cup that'll hold less than an ounce. If He gave you that gallon of water, He'd pour it all over you. And it wouldn't do you any good. And so God has to prepare us sometimes. In the plan of God, He has to prepare us. In the will of God, He has to prepare us. We have to grow sometimes into the things that God has. So when we're patient and kind toward God, what we're doing is we're not getting negative just because we have to wait. Just because we don't understand some things. God will do something and I don't get it, and maybe things become a little bit harder for me because of it. If I'm impatient and unkind toward God, then that's going to be a real problem for me. But if I'm patient toward God and I'm kind toward Him, I won't start thinking negative things about God just because something happened that I don't understand. I'll just say, well, God has a reason. And I'm okay with that because it's God who has the reason. In John 13:34, Jesus tells us that that is God's command, that we love. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Well, in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. We have to receive the love of God and then we can give the love of God. But we are commanded. That means we have no choice. We must receive the Word of God. And once we received it, we must give the love of God. Patience and kindness is where it starts, not emotions. Patience and kindness. In Galatians 5:6, the love of God gives energy to our faith. You could say it motivates our faith. It energizes our faith. It causes us to want to live in faith, to want to practice faith rest, faith obedience. It gives energy to our faith. In John 14:6, the Word of God says, we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. If I'm going to be faithful to the love of God, first I have to get to know the love of God. I have to get to know the patience and the kindness of God. And then I have to believe that God is kind and patient. God says we have to do that. Know that God is kind and patient. Don't let that, well, I hope He's going to be kind and patient. No, know that He is kind and patient. This is His character. He is kind and He is patient. And then it says, God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. You want to know if you're right with God or not? Do you love? Do you love God, and does that love then get expressed to other people? Do you love? That'll tell you if you're right with God. And again, I want to emphasize, it's not an emotion. It is not an emotion. It's very important that we realize it's not an emotion. It's not how I feel about somebody. It's not whether I like or dislike. It is patience and it is kindness. And everything else out of love comes from patience and kindness. And then the third thing we are faithful to is to the grace of God. The grace of God is a gift in Ephesians 2:8. That means we don't have to deserve it. The grace of God is also in Ephesians 2:7, the kindness of God. And then the grace of God is also His government. In Hebrews 4:16. So we have three things. We have a gift of God. God gives us a gift we don't have to earn. He gives us kindness, and it's the government of God. In other words, it instructs us, it teaches us, it guides us, it becomes what we obey, it becomes what we follow. It is a government, and it's a government in our heart. Now, the thing about the grace of God is grace always comes to the rescue if a person sins. In Romans 5:20. So let's say that you fall into sin. You didn't even realize maybe it's sin, or maybe you did. Well, grace will come to your rescue. The kindness of God will rescue you. The goodness of God will rescue you. The love of God will rescue you. Because the love of God is wonderful. The kindness of God is wonderful. These are amazing things. There's nothing better in a person's life, nothing more wonderful than the love and the kindness and the grace of God. So if a person falls short or they make a mistake, and maybe it's not even sin, it's just a mistake. Not every mistake is sin. Well, then the grace of God will come in and rescue you. The grace of God is the hope that we have, and it's the thing that we can really trust and rely on. That the grace of God is always for you. It works in your favor. It is looking out for you. It's protecting you. It's taking care of you. And it will take care of you in every situation. There's nothing you can do to remove the grace of God. In Galatians 1:15, you're called by grace. That means that grace is what gives you a meaningful life. You want a life that is valuable. You want a life that is meaningful. You want a life that actually makes an impact and has an effect. And you want a life that has a positive benefit to people and to yourself and to your family. Well, the grace of God does that for you. Everything that you receive from God, every prayer that is answered, every need that God provides, everything He does for you, and He does everything for you, He does it all by grace. Grace is everything in a believer's life. Never underestimate the ability of God's grace to do something for you. God is extremely willing to do whatever you need. Never underestimate God's willingness. Never underestimate God's kindness. Never underestimate the love of God. Never underestimate these things. It is not possible to overestimate them. Get to know those three things, guys. Those three things will make your life with God. They will make your life absolutely fantastic. If something is lacking in a believer's life, if there's something going wrong, it's going to be one of those three things. Either they're not properly oriented to the Word of God, or the love of God, or the grace of God. One of those three things. Those three things are key. If you're faithful to those three things, everything else will follow. You don't have to worry about anything else. Be faithful to those three things. The Word of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. And everything else falls right into place. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.